right. Now, if you believe, you will definitely find a way. And that leads me to say music is like poetry, and it has a message. And the message for today is believe, and you'll find a way. And history is like a diamond that shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. News can create a chain of events, and oh my goodness, what a chain of events this year has been. But these chains of events sometimes reveal things that we don't always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the curtain and see the contributions, and you will find this right now, our quest moment, where we attempt to make waves and vibration. Thank you for joining us today to hear a different perspective of our diaspora. Now, without any further ado, this is Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And our student host, I'll leave you to introduce yourself. Good morning.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bay, but my name is Walter Pierce, and you are listening to Quest Youth Radio, which is, again, the best youth radio. And, you know, I want to start off today's show, of course, with the diamond. And see, history is like a diamond. Each person represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of the ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. And for today's diamond, you know, we're going to be having a discussion about the one, get straight to it, the one and only James Weldon Johnson. You know, just to talk about James Weldon Johnson, he was a civil rights activist, writer, composer, politician, educator, and lawyer, as well as one of the leading figures in the creation and development of the Harlem Renaissance. After graduating from Olney University, he worked as a principal in a grammar school, founded a newspaper, The Daily American, and became the first African-American to pass the Florida bar. He also had a couple of books published, including his autobiography of an ex-colored man, which was in 1912, and God's Trombones in 1927. But I guess the most important thing, or the most notable thing that James Weldon Johnson, of course, is known for, is for his creation of the song "Lift Every Voice and Sing." And you know, "Lift Every Voice and Sing" for people who don't know, that's basically our African American national anthem, we could call in America. And you know, it's just a song just about lifting each other, lifting everybody's voice, so that we could all have a voice and we could all lift up each other. It all brings all people of color together, and that is really what the main purpose of the song is. You know, I could even remember me. You know, we used to perform this back in elementary school. We used to hear this as well. They used to have to sing it, perform it. This was a song that, you know, I was very familiar with, but I don't think that it was incorporated, you know, enough as well. You know, you have the American national anthem, of course. That's, you know, everybody knows that. You hear that all over the place. But you know, when it comes to "Lift Every Voice and Sing," it's not like that, because I could even remember a time where it was visitors that came to our school, which was people who were white, and it was one of these guys who thought the song was actually a school song, which was created. They thought we created the song, but no, this is actually a song that's been around for almost 100 years, and it just spoke to how low-key, I guess you could say, the song is in our community. I mean, just general in America, you know. But before I continue, I just want to get your everybody's thoughts who's in here with the panel. What do y'all? How was y'all upbringing when we was going over with Lift Every Voice and Sing? Was it something that was a part of your daily routine for school? Was it something you were very familiar with? I just want to know your thoughts about that.
Okay, so before we bring in other people to discuss this particular song, how about we just play the song?
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmony of liberty.
Transition, we move right along. Mr. Harris, we have you on the line, and you can make a quick comment, but I want you to move into the next segment.
Oh, yeah, good morning, everyone. I learned about the Lift Every Voice and Sing, James Weldon Johnson, when I was in elementary school. And yes, we did have to sing it in school along with the American anthem. And I think it's important that we do that. And, you know, there are certain things that we have done in our past that need to be continued in our future and stuff, just to keep us focused on the kinds of things that we wanted to really do. And today for our chains of events, which is actually an interpretation of the news as it affects our community in a lot of different ways. But today we're going to focus on the times that are upon us right now, talking about Kwanzaa. And Kwanzaa is really something that came about as a brainchild of Dr. Mulana Karenga back in 1966. And it really focuses on was known as the Nguza Saba, or the seven principles, things that we need to continue to have in our minds all year long, but are being reinforced during the season, or what we call the season of Kwanzaa. These different principles are Umoja, which means unity, Kujichagulia, which is self-determination, Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa, which means cooperative economics, Nia, which is purpose, Gomba, which is creativity, and most importantly, Imani, which is faith. And maybe our engineer has it queued up, but there's a particular song where had the music of Herbie Hancock, and a brother was named Stockwell II. Really goes into what the Nguza Sapa really means and why it's important for us to do these type of things every day, not just during the week of Kwanzaa.
And you have that.
You're brothers and sisters, we have been blessed with a new day, smiled upon with another opportunity to better ourselves, to strengthen our families, and support our community. Recite, if you will, in Nguza Sapa, the seven principles. Umoja is unity, and that's the way it should always be. To build and maintain unity in the family, nation, and community. As a people, we need to get together and share our blessings. That's the way it should always be. Umoja is unity. Kujichagulia is self-determination, you see? To define ourselves, name ourselves, create ourselves, and speak for ourselves. Kujichagulia is self-determination, you see? I need freedom to define my own goals so no one has to speak for me. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. To build and maintain our community together. Your worries mine, my worries yours, whatever. Let's take responsibility for our past and what our future's gonna be. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. That money, man. To build and maintain our own stores, our own shops, our own businesses, getting props, sharing profits, feeling fine. I buy your goods, you buy mine. Believing people come before profits do. Power to the people, to the me, to the you. Ujamaa, we must understand that money, man. Nia is purpose, like a little girl's name, to make our collective work the lifting and building of our community so our people can rise to their traditional greatness. We are social beings and we must work together, our hood. But Nia's purpose, so it's all good. Kubumba is creativity, to do always as much as you can in the way that you can. So the community we inherit is more lovely than it began. Enhance the world, a flavor from you, a taste from me. Kuumba is creativity. Imani is faith. To believe in our hearts and our people, in our parents and our teachers too, and the righteousness of our struggles. Believe in the power of you. Selectively honor our leaders. Forever encourage the young with mind, with faith. Umoja, that means unity. Kujichagulia, self-determination. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kuumba, creativity. Imani, faith. Umoja. Kujichagulia. Ujima. Ujimaa. Nia. Kuumba. Imani. Ashe. Who's going to have a positive day? Ashe, ashe. Who's going to have a positive learning day, Ashe, Ashe? Who will respect themselves today, Ashe, Ashe? Who will respect the teachers today, Ashe, Ashe? Who will smile today, say still? Who will laugh today, say I? Who will love today, say rise? Who's gonna celebrate Kwanzaa today? Say Ashe. Oh yeah. You get your rock on. Come on. You know you feel that. Huh? Say, I'm gonna get my Kwanzaa on. Say, I'm gonna get my Kwanzaa on. Say, I'm gonna get my Kwanzaa. Say, I'm gonna get my Kwanzaa on. Clap your hands now. Kwanzaa is a 7-day celebration for a year-long practice. Kwanzaa was created and founded in 1966 by Milana Karanga to bring the black community together. It's a way for black people to get together every year for the same reason, for the same thing. 7 days, 7 principles, 7 symbols of Kwanzaa. The Ngunzu Saba at the center of the Kwanzaa celebration gives us the blueprint to heal the community of all of our ills. If we practice Kwanzaa 365 days a year, by the time we get back to the Kwanzaa celebration, we're stronger, we're better, we're more together. We're celebrating our unity, we're celebrating self-determination. Collective work and responsibility is what's going to help cooperative economics rise in the community. Be creative. Show our purpose. Have faith. Celebrate Kwanzaa with your family. Celebrate Kwanzaa with your community. Celebrate Kwanzaa with the world. Say, I'm going to get my Kwanzaa on. Say, I'm going to get my Kwanzaa on. I'm going to get me some Kwanzaa. I'm going to get my Kwanzaa on. Celebrate Kwanzaa today, tomorrow, and forever. Leave Kwanzaa as a legacy to the children. I'm gonna get my Kwanzaa on. How about you?
Okay, Mr. Harris, you selected that song, and I don't have to ask why, but elaborate quickly, and we're gonna transition right over to Walter Pierce, our student host.
This is something, again, that we have to start thinking long-term for the types of changes we want in our community. And sometimes it starts with understanding which direction we need to go. And Kwanzaa and then Nguzu Saba kind of lays the framework for the body that we're trying to build. This is just a skeleton, but it's something we have to work on every day, all year. And hopefully by next Kwanzaa, we'll be in a better place, and we'll do it again.
Okay. Walter Pierce, you're back on.
All right. And, yeah, just to continue this Kwanzaa conversation, I guess you could say, you know, Kwanzaa, it starts, you know, December 26th, and it runs all the way to January 1st, you know. It's not really that marketable holiday, though. But it is very prominent within the African American community, and it's still like a new holiday, I guess you could say. But it's still a holiday that helps, again, how I was saying with Lift Every Voice and Sing, how that brings unity, how that song, but this holiday, that's what this is supposed to bring as well. It's supposed to bring that sense of unity. And, you know, it celebrates the first fruits again. That's really it also celebrates the African heritage and identity dealing with Kwanzaa. And, you know, we have these candles because I remember, we do this every year, me and my family, we celebrate this. And, you know, we light a candle each day, of course, and each candle is going to represent, each candle we light different is going to represent something different. You know, we have, again, as the song was even saying, we have the 7 different principles that we are here to follow and that we're supposed to follow. So, you know, it's something, it's a principle, and when you bring it all together, you start to see that all it wants to do, and it wants to help unite us because, of course, the creator of Kwanzaa, you know, he's seen a problem with that. and, you know, a problem with people not understanding their roots and not being unified, that was one of the problems. That was something that was true for African-American people. And this holiday helps serve for people who actually want to learn about their roots, learn about Africa even a little more, do research during these times, you know, because it does. It runs for, it's not just for one day. It's for 7 days, from December 26th to January 1st. So, you know, we as the people during this time period, we just take each day to actually do learning, learn about something, learn about each other, and let's do it together as a family so everybody could be unified and everybody could get an understanding of it. So, you know, that's really how I feel about Kwanzaa. You know, of course, I'm being young. I only could remember so many that we had, but what every time we would do it, you know, we just, it's always a good celebration of it. We always have a good food at the end of it. On January 1st, you know, we have different foods that represent different things. You know, I'll speak of even one. It was cabbage. You know, cabbage meant wealth. It meant money. That's something that we had incorporated in our family. But, you know, I guess for the rest of y'all as well, you know, I just want to know how Kwanzaa is prominent in your families if you celebrate it. And, you know, do you really celebrate? Do you read together with your family? Do you have certain meals at the end of it? What do you guys do to celebrate Kwanzaa?
Okay, well, that being said, I'm going to keep us moving right along. And here's some food music.
You're tuned to Quest Community Vibration on 89.5 WSOC.
Thank you.
And we're back with Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, we're going to transition right into another segment, and it has everything to do with the 90s, which is your clue. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, the 90s were a really transitional time for our people because we had just came out of the but we were feeling the repercussions of the crack epidemic. But years prior to that, you know, we had went through our little black consciousness era where, you know, a lot of black people and stuff were getting really fed up with the way the system was. There were riots in Newark, obviously. There was riots in Watts in California. And this kind of, and to, even the aftermath of all that caused for a lot of people to kind of reflect on what was going on and kind of trying to project into the future what we were really looking for. And there was a group in California called the Watts Prophets. And they had a, they came as an aftermath of the Watts riots through writers' workshops and things like that, you know, and they came up with a concept or a poem called When the 90s Came. They were looking forward to a lot of progress. This was in 1966, 67. But they were looking forward to a lot of progress for our people because we were coming of age as far as they was concerned. And this particular song kind of leads them into, well, the song kind of speaks for itself. I'll let the music speak for itself.
All right,
Mr. Engineer.
We're live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. We are Quest Community Vibration.
When the 90s came, I tried to change my negative social outlook. Just maybe, maybe the world really wasn't run by crooks.
Oh, you think not?
On close inspection, I saw that justice and morality was no longer reality in most men's mentality.
Mentality.
Racism was well.
Alive.
Malcolm had been reduced to a commercial X.
X.
And the Panthers to a movie.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came. I saw black self-hate at a high, high, vicious rate.
Vicious. Look around.
I dug panhandlers, panhandling, panhandlers.
Got some change.
I stumbled over homeless soup kitchen abused youth with in vogue values. Suicidal, sexed out, mixed up, Nintendo kid.
When the 90s came.
Doing violent dances. Taking deadly, deadly chances.
Deadly chances.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
I peeped the middle class becoming last fast.
Fast.
Network, corporate, multinational, and insanity has control of humanity.
Destroying
humanity.
And the world psyched into an ethnic fight.
Black and brown.
As the gun runners grow in economic might.
Might.
Red, white, and
yellow.
The
poor people struggle and fight.
Fight.
And struggle and fight.
And struggle and fight.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
I saw smiling billboards and comedians everywhere.
Just look around.
Sprinkling mechanical laughter here and there, here and there, to hide the deadly, deadly mental despair.
Despair.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
Ayn Rand was inflicting pain.
Oh, that hurt.
I'd never seen such a thing. Persuasive political TV bites.
Speaking to the mic.
Take people's rights.
News at 11.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
I saw the world's real mass murder sitting on the highest purchase from the government to the churches.
When the 90s came.
Self-righteous high-tech killers. Robbing and raping and robbing and raping minds at prime time.
News at 11.
Mental scars, civil wars,
fought in bars.
People singing hate songs of death and tribal wars. As rape women weep and children die.
Die.
Most time. For a great big law and order lie.
Law and
lie.
Order lie.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came.
I saw disease and pollution with no solution. As psyched out, robot, in vogue mind people. Follow like sheep and weep.
Like sheep and weep.
Because of prime time.
Unreal.
Billboard computerized multimedia mentality.
When the 90s came.
Has become their reality.
When the 90s came.
When the 90s came. I learned to have hope. In the face of no hope.
I still believe.
When the 90s came.
And through all the changes, there's still some positive things happening now. When the 90s came.
And you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations.
And we're going to bring in our continuity manager, Tanisha. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today?
Great. Tell us what you – we're past the halfway point of the show. So talk to me about the show. Talk to me about your interpretation of what's going on this program today. And keep it short. And right after this, we're going to go right to another song and then back to Walter.
The show was great. Definitely Kwanzaa is very important. Like Mr. Harris said, it's about the skeleton. And once you build the skeleton, you got to start building the flesh. And that's very important. And once you put the soul to it, then it has life.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to move right along and keep it locked.
When you said yesterday that it's nearly Christmas, what did I want? And I thought, just love me, love me, love me. That's what I want for Christmas. When I walk through a room, let them see you need me. Walk through a room, let them see you love me, love me, love me. That's what I want for Christmas. Anyone can wish for all the trinkets in the window. Some can take me in your arms and hold me and kiss me and say you love me, love me, love me. That's what I want for Christmas. Hold me, kiss me.
Such a smooth transition. Walter Pierce, you're back on. Good morning again.
To continue with my segments for today, I want to continue with another diamond and talk about the life, you know, and the thinking of really Muhammad Ali. Everybody really already knows most about Muhammad Ali. You know, his upbringing, he was originally known as Cassius Clay, but now he eventually changed his name to Muhammad Ali when he converted to Islam. And, you know, he was also a very outspoken person during that time period, because that was around the time period when it was Vietnam. And, you know, he went out live and even said that, publicly stated that he will not be serving in Vietnam, you know. And this was something that was very prominent because, you know, you're turning down something that really America so-called needed. They needed people for this, and somebody of the status of Muhammad Ali was very well known by a lot of people. Him saying that, I believe, top officials in America probably believed that could sway people's minds about it. Because the reason he said he doesn't want to serve is because he doesn't want to go and travel all those miles just to go kill people. That's not what he believed in, and that's not what his thinking was. And, you know, saying something like that, I mean, you're going to get the people who are going to be very against you, the people who are who consider themselves true Americans and really people who really this war thing, going out and fighting wars. But then you have people that probably followed Muhammad Ali who probably would have agreed with him and followed the same thing he would have done. So, of course, he ended up being arrested. And, you know, I believe the reason it was because of how much he could have changed people's mindsets because of who he was. You know, saying especially saying something like that, a lot of people who believed in what he did would definitely try to go follow him. You know, but you know, eventually they let him free, and he went out. He was boxing. He fought plenty of iconic battles. Ali versus Frazier is probably the biggest, where it went all the way to round 15. You know, of course, I wasn't alive, but, you know, I hear a lot about it. I even seen a documentary on it, you know, just everything leading up to that fight, how prominent it was. You know, people like also like Sonny Liston, he also fought, you know, and he was a very, very talented boxer, very quick on his feet, very, very athletic, you know, and he was somebody that people loved. You know, he'll continue to fight a couple more. He ended up retirement. He also started to develop Parkinson's disease, which really got to him. And, you know, that really got bad for him because, you know, Muhammad Ali, you know how he is. He's a very expressive and expressive person. So him not being able to really express himself because of Parkinson's, you know, I believe that had to be probably hard for him. You know, it was seeing him, you obviously could see him in the later parts of his lives where he was just very sick. And he obviously didn't look well. And, you know, he'll make these different TV appearances. He'll talk, he could barely talk. He talks very well. But, you know, he still kept pushing. He still tried to be how he used to be, how expressive he was in the ways he can. And, you know, he really devoted his time, his later time, just to continuing to help people, which was his main goal. Always wanted to help, donate to plenty and many charities, and he just wanted to help impoverished places in America. And you know, he gets tons and tons of respect for that. And you know, just the life of Muhammad Ali, it's something that I believe it's a couple documentaries on it that I believe people should actually go out and watch. I know I'll probably have to rewatch another one, but I seen one two years ago. Just, you know, going over the life and going over his thinking and everything about it. So, you know, I just encourage everybody, really the message is, you know, just go watch something, go look up something on Muhammad Ali about what people really thought about him, especially the Vietnam part, because that's probably one of the most controversial and biggest statements he ever made. And you just have to see just the reaction and why his thoughts were to not go fight in Vietnam, which was very amazing to me. So, yeah, that's really what I have for Muhammad Ali.
Okay. Well, you know, you're missing first of all, let me give you a pass. Being the youngest person in the room, it's okay. The Thriller in Manila. And like Mr. Harris said in a conversation on Wednesday, there was no place in the world that Muhammad Ali couldn't go without being recognized. And we have someone who actually had an opportunity to experience him firsthand. Val, are you on the line? Good morning. Okay. So what we're going to do is move right along musically with the sounds of Prince.
Heard about the party now, just east of Harlem. Dougie gonna be there, but you got to call him. Even the soldiers need a break sometime. Listen to the groove, y'all. Let it unwind your mind. No intoxication. Let's see what I see. Dancing hot and sweaty. Right in front of me. Oh, call it what you like. I'm a common high beat. This is just another one of God's pieces. Musicology. Got to keep the party moving. Like I told you. Keep the old school joint. For the true funk soldier. Musicology.
Mr. Harris, why did you choose musically Prince for today?
Well, like I thought I was saying, we were sitting in the house grooving on some things, and what better to groove on than Prince? You know, he was a musician that transcended like almost all music. I've heard him play everything but country music, but it's all good.
Okay, we're gonna move right back. Transitionally, that speaking, Walter, you're on.
Yeah, you know, I want to continue, and I want to go to my next segment, which is definition. And see, this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definitions controls us. we must define existence and not have it defined for us, especially for today's word, which, you know, I picked the word artist as my definition for today. And, you know, obviously, that's really the theme of what I've been talking about for dealing with people like James Wolfner Johnson, who was a writer, who was a performing artist. You know, his art came in the performance way when dealing with, you know, dealing with music, you know, and also the Harlem Renaissance, the rebirth and the revival of culture for African Americans in Harlem. You know, that's something for him. You know, when I think when a lot of people think about an artist, you know, they think either performing or they think, you know, even something like drawing, you know, painting. You know, somebody thinks always somebody like that is an artist, which is, of course, true. But, you know, I think you could relate other people to artists as well. Like, also, when you talk more about, like, sports figures, in the sense of somebody, of course, like Muhammad Ali, as we talked about today, you know, being able to move around, being as mobile, being, you know, being able to move your feet, you know, you're basically creating art for people to watch. It's basically art in motion, you know, because, you know, it's a performing art, you know, when you do stuff like that, you have people watching it, you know, you're just leaving them thinking, and it's just something that they're just watching in motion, that is something that they probably can't do, but they're just watching all of this talent that you have, you know, and it's basically like people say poetry in motion with a lot of these. Also dealing with something like basketball, golf, football, it's all really an art form when you really think about it, performing art. It takes a lot of creativity, which is the main thing, for these things as well. Because that's really what the main thing about art is, creativity. And that's what a lot of these especially sports that we do, you know, that takes a lot of creativity if you really want to achieve and be successful at it. And that's what Muhammad Ali was. And he was a very creative person, very different type of boxer from a lot of people. And that's why he was so very successful. That's why so many people love to watch him, you know.
What about Cicely Tyson? She is a movie actress, an artist. Tell us a little bit about her.
Oh yeah, Cicely Tyson especially. She's somebody who've been in a lot of different movies, and you've seen some, especially that's the performing arts, you know, being able to have that acting and being able to play a role and just really be so creative with your role that a lot of people want to tune in and watch you. You know, that's what separates a lot of, I believe, actresses and actors when you talk about movies being created. You know, people have their set favorite actors, and that's because they attract them the most, which probably relates to their creativity of the actor or the uniqueness, you know, of that actor.
Okay, so that's, Walter, that's, I want you. I apologize again, but I want to bring in someone who actually met Cicely Tyson. Good morning. Introduce yourself.
What up, family? Chris on the line. How everybody doing this morning? So I went to school. Oh, good. So I grew up and I graduated from Cicely Tyson's Performing Arts High School. So when y'all speak about art, you're talking my language. That's what I do. So, so Cicely Tyson, she's an amazing woman, man. We see her in a lot of movies, and she played in a lot of more prominent things. All her roles are prominent because she made a thing of picking roles that will highlight Black community and uplifting, you know, our community. But what most people might remember her from would be like working with Tyler Perry. She did some stuff with Tyler Perry. That rang a lot of that hit home with a lot of black problems in our community these days. So with Tyler Perry using his platform and bringing other actors and actresses on to, you know, to help his agenda in spreading black knowledge and uplifting our community, they worked in tandem. So Cicely Tyson was amazing. I went to her school, her high school in East Orange, New Jersey, Cicely Tyson School of Performing Arts, and I graduated there. My performing art there was art. It began in the music, the music art department, and then they removed the music program from the school after a while. So then I had to do like painting types of art, drawing and painting. Wasn't really my forte, but she came in a few times since I've been there. I went to high school there from 2004 to 2007. I try to be concise about this because I could go on about this woman. But she came in and she spoke. She spoke profoundly. I can't remember anything in particular, but anytime she comes to speak, she's shutting it down, and it's a mic dropper. And pretty much like all her roles in movies, you know, you see her do her monologues, and they be so impactful, I'm trying to tell you. But I got a lot to say about this whole the whole segment today in general. But Cicely Tyson, though, yeah, she was born in 1924, and she's still kicking. The woman is 96. Her birthday was last week, so we didn't get to really discuss about her too much today. So happy birthday, happy belated birthday to her. And I hope she enjoys that. But, yeah, that's dope, man. I appreciate y'all for letting me share that.
Okay. Well, Chris, we're going to come back to everybody for our wrap because we have 3 minutes left. But you know what I've been doing all day?
Playing music.
You're tuned to Quest Community Vibration on 89.5 WSOU.
The snow is snowing and the wind, it is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm. I cannot remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles fall. What do I care if icicles fall? I've got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, off with my gloves. Who needs an overcoat? I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire and the flame grows higher. So I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
And I just want to say that particular song was chosen because we all have been weathering a storm, and what a storm 2020 has been. We have 6778. You have a moment to give us a shout out, introduce yourself. Go.
Good morning. This is Calvin Pierce calling. Great show, guys, everybody. Love the segment on the Kwanzaa, Muhammad Ali, and Cicely Tyson. Both individuals that actually I had had the pleasure of actually seeing. Muhammad Ali back, my only time was back in 1980 when he was assisting Jimmy Carter in his election, came to my school in Florida. While I was attending college in Florida, and he was just a great impact on the students and everybody that was in attendance. This Cicely Tyson is a person who this school in East Orange named is after, whose dedication and always presence at that school is always there. She comes there every year, of course, with the exception of this year, but she's always there in attendance, supporting the school, supporting the staff, and supporting the students. Guys, have a great day. Have a great holiday. Happy Kwanzaa, and enjoy.
And we have someone on the line from North Carolina. Please introduce yourself and give us a quick shout-out.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Joey. I'm actually Christopher's mom. So I had the opportunity to be a part of the Cicely Tyson era as well. I am enjoying the radio station. It's a blessing to know that we have people out here that is supporting our youth and keeping them enlightened on our history. Y'all have a blessed day.
Okay. Tanisha, you up next? Talk to us.
Yeah, happy Kwanzaa, everyone. Like we just said before, you are you just take time to create and help other people in their lives.
And Chris, quickly, your final words.
Man, I want to talk about the whole segment today, but I guess more importantly, that selection by Prince. Y'all, if y'all was live with me, man, y'all would have seen me rock out the whole 2-3 minutes or something. I was dancing like a little something, like I was a star. I can't dance for nothing, though. But I was dancing away.
Okay.
I like Prince, man. But the segment was good today. I appreciated it. And you guys did good in explaining and, you know, informing everybody on the topics of discussion today.
Okay, Mr. Harris.
Yes, all I can say is that remember the Nguza Saba is something that's not just for Kwanzaa, it's for the whole year. And hopefully next year we'll be in a better place and we will be able to refocus on what we need to do as a people, because we have to remember it's not for us. We're working for our grandchildren. We're not working for us.
And Walter, close us out.
You know, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. You know, we're on here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. So if you ever want to just tune into the show to get a word in or to share your experience, please do that. And again, our motto is Quest Youth Radio is
the best
youth radio.
And that does it for another episode of Quest Community Vibrations. And I'd like to thank everyone at the Seton Hall community and WSOU for making it all possible. Until next week, peace.